Hello, everybody. It's a real privilege to speak to you on Good Friday 2021. I don't know whether you have ever said something that was deep, profound, and actually not realised what you were saying. Well, what we're looking at today happened in that way. See, following the raising of Lazarus from the dead, there was a plot to kill Jesus that began to rise amongst some Jews. They needed to get rid of him. So their idea was that they would go and tell the Pharisees, express their feelings. We need to get rid of this guy that calls himself the Son of God. Well, they did manage to get under the skin of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees called a council meeting to discuss what they were going to do with Jesus. The meeting was called, and Caiaphas, the chief priest, is taking charge of that council meeting. It says this in John 11, 48. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. That's an outstanding statement, isn't it? But then it's the next part of that verse that really catches their attention. And the Romans will come and take away both our place, that's their place of privilege, and our nation. So the raising of Lazarus for many and seemed to be the last straw. The healings, the miracles, the crowds that are now following Jesus have begun to test the people, their patience and what they felt that Jesus even was there for. He had tested the authorities. He'd created fear. And part of that fear was the bringing down of the wrath of Rome upon them. Something needs to be done. So Caiaphas listens, he raises his hand, and he speaks. And he speaks with authority, and he has a judgment on the matter. This is what it says in John chapter 11. It says, but one of them, here he is, Caiaphas, who was the chief of, who was the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. That's John 11, 49 to 50. Now to him, these words were a cynical, hard expression of expediency, of convenience. His world was the world of realistic politics in which life was cheap to gain what you wanted. And the miracle worker from Nazareth, the crowd puller from Nazareth, was in the way. He was dispensable. And if his death could save the nation from disaster and actually keep him in his position of privilege, then let's kill him. Yet unwittingly, he is expressing an amazing, deep, profound truth. Listen to it again. It is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not know it, but he was using the language of sacrifice and substitution. In the Old Testament, the word is used when an animal took the place of the people's sins and died to make an atonement, or the one who was penitent or repentant. A substitute acts in the place of someone, so as to render that person's actions unnecessary. So as our substitute, Jesus did what we cannot do. He bore our sin, he bore our shame, our judgment. Now, is Caiaphas prophetic without knowing it? I don't know. But what he has done, he's spoken out the purpose of Jesus's birth, life, death, resurrection, return. It is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. It really is a deep and profound mystery how one man should die for the people. How can one solitary figure bear the sins of so many? Is it really possible? Yes, it is really possible. And that's the wonder of it all. The sacrificial system that we read about in the Old Testament had long established the principle of an innocent substitute bearing the sins of the guilty. The Day of Atonement is all about a single innocent substitute being slaughtered for the sins of all. Gory, horrible, yes. But look beyond the outer to where it points to. There's a Scottish theologian called Thomas Smale. And he said this, yes, especially if that man is the incarnate creator, come to recreate his people by fulfilling the covenant they broke and could not fulfill, by taking the old humanity down to death and in raising a new humanity to life in which by his spirit we might share. As Jesus willingly gave up his life, he became the last, full and perfect sacrifice for sins. And in him, all the sacrifices of the past are gathered up and rendered obsolete. It is finished. Peter wrote this, he said, for Christ also suffered once for sins. The righteous one, for the unrighteous ones, that he, Jesus, might bring us, those unrighteous ones, to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. The guy that we've talked about, Thomas Smale, he once visited Jerusalem, and one night he was unable to sleep. I don't know whether it was heat or what it was, but so he got up, began to wander around the room that he was staying in. And he wrote about what he saw. He said this, towards dawn, I wandered to the end of the balconied roof and I looked at the nearly empty street below. It was not entirely empty because halfway along was a donkey. Donkey had a bin strapped to its back, and next to him a man loading the rubbish from the previous day into the bin on the back of the donkey. The street where the donkey had not yet reached, was full of rubbish, the rubbish of yesterday. But where the donkey with the dustbin had passed, it was clean. It was clear. It was ready for a new day. A donkey with a dustbin. It makes you think, does it not, of the foolishness of the cross and the abatement of the one who walked that same road on the same kind of enterprise. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the rubbish of the world. Don't you love him? Don't you want to thank him that he died for your sins so that you can live? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for being my substitute, for being my perfect sacrifice, for dying for me so that I might live. Amen.